Good morning. If you have a copy of the scriptures, please turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're actually going to be in two passages of scripture today. So if you would put your finger there in Matthew 11 and then find Luke chapter 18 and then put your finger there and then go back to Matthew 11, because that's where we're going to start this morning. Thank you again so much for affording me the opportunity of going to East Iowa Bible Camp this past week to speak at their junior high camp number two. I had a great time the first week I was there at junior high camp, and it was awesome. But this week, if you can believe it, surpassed it in many ways. And I want to share some of those things with you as a part of my message. But suffice to say, friends, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we look at the generation that's coming up and we think that there's not a lot of hope for them. I want to tell you, from what I saw this week, there is a lot of hope for our future, for the future of the church, for the future of missions, for the future of people coming to understand the gospel. I shared something with them this week that I have shared with you before, about the idea of multiplication discipleship, and how one person choosing to be a discipler who makes disciples can reach the entire world in 34 years. It's true. The math doesn't lie, and maybe someday I'll share that whole deal with you again. But suffice to say that when I shared that with these junior high students, that many of them didn't shrink back and say, I don't think that's possible. A lot of them, and I do mean a lot of them, said, how do I get started? And it's exciting to see what God is doing. Now, of course, there's something about camp, right? There's a high there that we tend to come down from. But my prayer is that God would use these young people in amazingly mighty ways in their homes and with their families, in their schools, in their churches, and maybe even someday all over this world. And I'm very excited about that. If you are in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read together verses 25 through 30. And so I'm going to ask for you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as I read it out loud and as you follow along in your Bible. This is Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. Here we go. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, we come before you this morning realizing that in the grand scheme of things, we are nothing and you are everything. We realize, Lord, that we have nothing to offer you that is any more than what you have already given us. And so, Lord, in that, it all belongs to you anyway. So, Lord, this morning, as we come before you and as we seek to open your word, I pray that you would, first of all, forgive the sins of the messenger, because they are many. I pray that you would purify my heart and my mouth. Cleanse me with the fire from the coals on the altar, so that the words flowing from my mouth would be your words and not my own. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the power of the Holy Spirit would infuse what is said so that it might touch each of our hearts and bring that revival that we have been praying for. Pray, Lord Jesus, that today would be the day that your Holy Spirit falls on us in mighty ways beyond that which we can even hope to imagine. Lord, as was prayed on Friday, why not our church? Why not begin revival here in Aledo, right here in Grace Evangelical Free Church? Lord, let it be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me begin by sharing with you how I came to be at East Iowa Bible Camp, because that in and of itself is a work of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Lord laid on my heart about, probably in the summer of 2018, early 2019, is to speak more to other groups of people besides just my church. Now, don't get me wrong. I love you guys. You're wonderful. You respond very well. You receive what I have to say very well, and I appreciate that. Please by no means think that I am looking for other employment. I am not. I simply want to be used by God in as many ways as possible. And so I began praying that the Lord would open up some doors. And one of the things that the Lord impressed on me was speaking at camps during the summer to young people or family camps or whatever, whoever would have me. And so I began doing some research online and sending out, the morning devotions website and those different types of things to people who would be willing to consider having me come and speak at a week of camp or even a weekend retreat or something like that. And so I threw that out there. I think I sent it out to about 7 or 8 different camps in this general area, and nobody called me back. And I was feeling discouraged, and I was feeling down, and a friend of mine who speaks at a lot of camps by the name of Tim Carmichael, who's a missionary with Ethnos 360, he happened to call me as I was feeling this way and asked me how I was doing. And I said, well, Tim, let me tell you how I'm doing. I'm pretty discouraged right about now. And this is what I felt like the Lord was leading me to do. And nothing's happened. And he goes, well, you know, you need to get in contact with a place called East Iowa Bible Camp, because the folks out there are awesome. And I think you would really connect with those people and have a good time out there. And I said, well, okay. So I was getting ready to send my stuff into East Iowa Bible Camp when I get a text, and you know how when you first get a text from someone you don't know, it's just a number, and I'm thinking, okay, it's a sales text, you know how they do that now. And so I was getting ready to swipe it when I saw Tim Carmichael's name in the initial first 10 words of the text, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me see what this is. And I click on it. It happened to be Jason Folkman, who is the program director of the camp. Anyway, he says, hey, Tim said that you're looking to speak. I have a need for a junior high week this coming year, 2020. Would you be willing to fill that? And I said, yes, I would be willing to fill that. Let's do it. And then 2020 happened. Okay, and we all know what 2020 was. And so because of COVID and so forth, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't even go to our camp for vacation. We just stayed home, kind of hunkered down, and did what we did here. And then the Lord led me, the Lord led Jason to call me back that next year and said, hey, all of my camp weeks are full except the last one. He said, it's what we call last chance camp. And we open it up to 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. I said to him, that's a wide range of ages there. He's like, yeah, I know, but would you be willing to come? I said, yes, I'll be willing to come. So I came and I spoke there. And then this year he called me again and he says, Jim, I don't often do this, but I want you to speak at 2 weeks of camp this year. I'm like, whoa, okay, cool. That's awesome. So this is something that the Lord has been leading me in and my family as well, because they've been a part of it as well. And so I'm so thankful for the opportunities that God has opened up to us and by proxy opened up to you. Allowing your pastor to minister in this way is also a ministry of yours. So I want to thank you first and foremost for allowing me to be used by God at this camp. But this last week, we had the opportunity to serve with a missionary couple by the name of Adam and Julie Miller. Martin. I keep calling him Miller. The Martins are a couple who have served in Papua New Guinea for 19 years. And before they even raised their support to go to Papua New Guinea, they spoke at East Iowa Bible Camp. And this week was the first time in 19 years that they'd come back to speak. And so this was really cool. And we got to know them a little bit. But their messages... You know how you go to a conference and you hear someone preach and someone who's preaching like two or three times and it's like, yeah, you feel like you kind of get to know them. Well, this couple were talking about, the whole theme of the week was all in. And this idea of going all in with Jesus, theme verse was Deuteronomy 5:9, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And so we were challenging these students to love God by, as Jesus said in John 14, by obeying his commands. And then we were also challenging them because when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? He said, Deuteronomy 5:6 or 5:9, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind, strength. But then he added, and the second is like it, it's just as important, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we went on those two things, and we saw that loving God is demonstrated in our obedience to what he has to say. And our love for others is demonstrated in our service to them. And so we were challenging students throughout the week, and it was interesting to see how, and we didn't coordinate this, but how the missionaries' messages in the evening were corresponding with my messages in the morning, and how we kind of played back and forth on each other. They were challenging their prayer, and they said this the very first night, was that 10 of these students in this room in 10 years would be willing to go to a people group that had not yet had someone come and teach them the gospel in their language. And friends, I want you to understand, there are a lot of languages that have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the things that shocked me a little bit, and this happened the first week, was a video that our friend Tim Carmichael shared. And he shared this video, and I told you about it. But there's a disparity in the amount of funds that we raise for missions, and especially the percentage of the money that we raise for missions is... Only 1% of that is going towards reaching the unreached. And that makes up about 29% of the earth right now, population-wise. In fact, this video went on to say that Americans, we spend more money on Halloween costumes for our pets than we do to see cultures and language groups and nations that have not yet heard the good news of Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with that, I think. And we challenge these young people, hey, you can have a part in that. You can change the world simply by living out your purpose, making disciples, becoming more like Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, my mind went to this passage that I read to you earlier. Because I think in many ways, the church of my generation, and maybe the generation before me, and maybe even the generation after me, we have become kind of complacent in our faith. We have become believers that the paid professionals, the Billy Grahams, the Franklin Grahams, the people who are out there in front of people who are on the radio, they're the ones who are going to reach the world for Jesus. No, we're not. It is when the church finally gets serious and starts becoming the church that we're going to see this world reach for Jesus. And it's when that happens that we are going to see Christ return. because Jesus promised that this good news will be preached in every nation, tribe, and tongue, and then the end will come. Jesus says here, I praise you, Lord, in heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from wise and learned people. You've hidden these things from smart people. And I think almost if we were to kind of contextualize what Jesus is saying here, because he says, and you've revealed it to little children. You've hidden it from adults. People who think they've got it all together and figured out. And you've revealed it to little kids. And we saw some of that this week. In fact, as we were talking with our missionary friends, they were saying, I cannot believe some of the questions that these kids are asking us. You know, they said, most of the times we go to churches and people, even adults, will ask questions like, well, where do they, because they're in the bush. They're Papua New Guinea is a fairly large island, but then there are tiny little islands off of it. They are on one of those tiny little islands. And they're the tribe the village that they serve is completely. I mean, they had to go in and learn the language, and of about 4,000 people in their village, about the size of Aledo, there is 40-50 believers after 19 years of ministry. It's a long process. But friends, I want you to understand something, that God called these people to this ministry, and God is using them to bring people to Christ. And as they began to talk, as they were in their question and answer session, you know, they said, most of the times people ask us, well, what do they eat, or how do they get their clothes, and those types of questions. And those are the questions they find themselves answering all the time. These kids didn't ask any of those questions. Junior hires were asking questions like, were you afraid to go to this place that you've never been, or that really no white person has ever been? One of the kids asked, did you think that you might be martyred? One of the kids asked, what was the most difficult thing for you in going into that situation? I think one of the kids even asked, how did you know that was where God wanted you to go? See, these are questions that most Christians aren't answering. And it's not because that... I think the reason that these kids are asking these questions is because they want to know how they can be used by God to reach the world for Jesus. I really honestly believe that. When I shared that multiplication thing with those kids... And after my talks in the morning, they would go to a small group time in their cabins and talk with their counselors. And then immediately following that, there was a counselor gathering, and they would talk about the rest of the day and what was going on. They'd also talk about things that they had talked about in their small groups. And when I shared that, all of these counselors were talking about, some of them two, some of them even three students in their cabins who were saying, I really want to be a part of seeing that happen. I really want to be a part of seeing the world reached for Jesus Christ. And then the follow-up comment was, but how do I share the gospel? What is the gospel? And that was on Thursday. And so I was glad it was on Thursday, because then I asked the counselors, I said, do you think it would be beneficial if I shared what the gospel is and how to share it tomorrow morning, our last day together? And they were all like, do it! And so I was like, okay, I will. And so that's not what I had prepared that day. So that night, after everything was done, I stayed up an extra about 35 minutes, 45 minutes, trying to put together something and getting ready for that. But God took that and he used it. And I think these kids are going to do some amazing, incredible things. You're going to hear some of these kids' names in the future. They're going to be kids who are pioneering in areas that the gospel's never gone. Now, why do I tell you that? To shame you? No, not at all. I tell you that to challenge you. Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I don't know about you. I want to be one of those that the Son chooses to reveal the Father to. I want to know God more. There was an old song that we used to sing in youth group back when I was many years ago. But the song went, I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to know. Something like that. Thank you. But the whole idea is in the secret, in the quiet place, in where you are, that's where I want to be. And I want Jesus wants to reveal the Father to us. He wants to reveal him to us. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know how he works and how he ticks and some of the things that he wants us to know. And sometimes that comes straight out of Scripture. Sometimes that comes through someone else saying something else. Sometimes it comes through a little child or a junior higher who is responding to a challenge that you never believed that someone like that could respond to. Yes, junior high. My own junior higher is over here. He's still in camp mode, so forgive him. That's all right, buddy. I love you. It's all good. Sometimes I think that as adults, we feel like that. We think about that, you know, making a disciple who can make disciple every year and seeing that multiply and become what it can be. And we're going to a foreign place, a place where nobody knows about Jesus or never heard about him. That can be kind of intimidating. Yeah? Come on, let's be honest. That is intimidating. But I love this passage because here's what Jesus says. It can seem overwhelming. It can seem burdensome even at times. And Jesus says, he calls out, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Do you ever feel weary and burdened? Do you ever feel overwhelmed and suffocated? Do you ever feel like the problems of this life are too much for you? Jesus is calling, and he's saying, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And he says, I will give you rest. I look around, no offense, see a lot of retired people. That's okay. That's okay. You know, we work hard and we think, you know, I'm gonna get to this point in my life and I'm gonna rest. But friends, can I encourage you with something? You may rest from your work, from your occupation, but don't ever rest from your faith. Don't ever rest from doing the will of God, because there is rest found in work. Because look at the very next words of Jesus. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now the yoke, that's work. The yoke is used to put two animals together to pull a plow. But look at what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke on you. Who's in the other stock? Jesus. And Jesus invites us to join him in the work. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Friends, I want to say something here, and I don't mean to offend anyone. I got a real problem with our town's motto. I don't want to be the city of pride. Look, I love Alito. Don't get me wrong. I love Alito. But God opposes the proud. I want to be humble in heart like Jesus is. I want to be humble in heart and be
willing to serve. I want to be humble in heart and be willing to do what He is calling me to do. I want to eschew pride and take on humility. And what does Jesus say? You will find rest for your souls. For your souls. Notice that the rest that Jesus offers isn't physical rest, although there are times when we need to rest. That was the whole purpose of the Sabbath day, right? It's to find rest. Is to take a break from work, to do your work, stop for a time, and then take it back up. But it is also understood that we are to work. And believe me, as I look at the Scriptures and as I think about the Scriptures, heaven is not about retirement. Heaven is about joyful work. Because if we look at the very beginning in Genesis, what did God do? He created a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. He created man and He said, work it. Work it. This was before the fall. This was before anything else. And I'm sure that Adam's work in the Garden of Eden was a joy to him. But when sin entered the world, what was the curse? The earth's going to produce thorns and weeds and thistles, and you're going to have a hard time working, and it's going to be a burden to you. And so the joy of heaven is not that there will be no work, it's that the work will be a joy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, look, you will find rest for your souls. It is not about rest for your body. The rest for your body will come when your body is made perfect and nothing hurts anymore, and you can run and jump and climb and scream and holler and sing and just be who you are in heaven. And it'll be great. The rest that Jesus offers is for our souls. It is a peace that passes all understanding. Even in the midst of crazy, it is a peace that passes all understanding. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus says, it says that in verse 15, it says that people were bringing babies to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked Him. But Jesus called the little children to Him and said, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in it. Friends, we need to humble ourselves. We need to become the children and receive that gift in such a way that it blows our minds. Friday, Pastor Scott Kramer gave a little talk at the end of the worship night. And one of the things that he shared, actually, it wasn't necessarily his little talk was about following after God and being willing to be led by Him. And in his prayer, he prayed for you. And he prayed for revival. For us. For our church. Friends, I had never talked to him about our commitment to pray for revival. Not once. I asked Andrew afterwards, I said, did you tell him about it? He's like, no, we never talked about it. Friends, the Holy Spirit is moving here. God is going to do something awesome in this place. And I don't know what it's going to take, but I hope you're still praying every day for revival. I am. I'm praying for revival in my heart and in my house and in my church. And I am praying with all of my might that God will help us to receive His word like little children, that we would choose to partner with Him to see the gospel spread throughout the world, that we would see God at work. Because He wants us to get to work. He wants us to be like the junior hires that I had the opportunity to minister to this week. He wants us to be like little infants who are so trusting of the people who are caring for them. He wants us to have the faith that says, God, I don't know where You're going to send me. I don't know what You're going to do with me. But whatever it is, I'm willing.
Let's go get it. One of the things that the missionaries shared, and with this I'll close, they were talking about missions work, and they shared a video of a man who was sharing an illustration with a rope, and the rope was like, I don't know, 25 feet long or something like that. And at the end of that rope was maybe a 1-inch piece of red tape. And he was explaining that what this is that this red piece of tape on this rope represents our life. The rest of that rope represents eternity. Now imagine that rope just goes on forever. Obviously it's only 25 feet, but imagine that it goes on forever. So many of us choose to live for that 1 inch without ever thinking about the future, eternity. And as they began to talk about that, they said, you know what? Is it scary to go into a place where the gospel has never been preached? The answer is yes, but embrace the fear and do the job. Is it dangerous to go into a place that the gospel has never been preached? Yes, but embrace the danger and do the job. Friends, sharing our faith with people can be frightening and scary. And maybe even here in the next few years, it might even be dangerous. But if God is calling us to be the church, then let's be the church. And let's embrace it and do the job. I love each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. But some of us are living in the inch. We're living for the inch. We're all living in the inch, but we're living for the inch. Some of us are living for the last eighth of an inch of our lives so that we can stop working and stop doing anything. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is that every portion of that inch of our life is used to impact the rest of the rope. Will you choose to be used by God? Will you choose to put yourself in His yoke and work alongside of Him to be a person, to be a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples, who makes disciples? Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that you have done for us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be all that you have called us to be. And I pray, Lord, that in all of that, will you please help us to be used of you, to be disciples who make disciples. Lord, help us to have the courage. Help us to have the strength. Lord, we know we don't have the strength, but Lord, help us to embrace the weakness and do the job. Help us to embrace the fear and do the job that you're calling us to be. Lord, we believe that you are. We believe that you are the creator of the world. We believe that you are the Almighty Father, that you are the one who sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that you are the one who sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us. Lord, you are the one who is immersing us in yourself. You are the one who has called us, Lord, to teach everything that you have commanded us to teach. Lord, you are the one who gives us good gifts to use for the betterment of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You are the one who has done all of these things. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ and for His sake, that you would bring us to a point where we are willing to put it all aside. Lord, doesn't matter how old or how young we are. Lord, may we use the rest of our days to honor and glorify you, to pursue the goal that every tongue and tribe and nation will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are many who are still waiting. There are many who are dying without you and going into a Christless eternity. And Lord, in many ways, that's on us, the church. We have failed. We have not completed the task. Lord, help us to complete the task. Help us to be strong. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be willing. Help us to be confident, not in ourselves, but humbly in your grace and in your power to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.